Welcome to the Love is the Answer podcast. Do you dream of the world being a better place? Do you wonder what you can do about it? Sweet! That's exactly what I'm trying to do. Let's change the world by transforming ourselves. Greetings, lovelies. Happy New Year. I've been a little under the weather this weekend, so hopefully I'll get through this without my voice sounding too weird. It's a strange thing how the change of a calendar year causes us to reflect on our lives. It's really an arbitrary point in time, yet we put so much significance on it. I, too, have been reflecting on my year. I've been thinking about the things that I've learned and the ways that I've grown, and considering what I'd like to focus on next. I'll share a little bit about that with you later. I am going to encourage you to not wait until December 31st of 2018 to do this kind of reflection again. We can actually choose to reflect on our lives at any point in time. It helps us to live more mindfully, more consciously, which gives us a much better chance of living aligned with our true selves and our values. So I've suggested that you should not make New Year's resolutions. Well, what's so wrong with New Year's resolutions? The first thing is that they tend to be too all or nothing. We tend to go about making New Year's resolutions that require a vast change in our behavior over a very short period of time, which sets us up for failure. I won't go into this reason in too much detail because my entire first podcast episode was about this problem. It was called Sustaining Motivation Through Compassionate Accountability, and I'll link to it in the show description. Another reason why New Year's resolutions are often not going to work is because the motivation that we may have for making them may be something that's temporary. Let's take a common New Year's resolution as an example. Say that you decide that you want to lose weight, but your motivation is that you have your high school reunion coming up later on in the year, or any other event, like your wedding. You may achieve some success, but chances are, because of the temporary mindset, the way that you may be going about achieving your goal may also make it likely that the results will be temporary. Such as going on a very strict diet that you have no chance of being able to sustain for the rest of your life because it's too restrictive. And as all of you are already aware, most people are not successful at keeping their New Year's resolutions. And this goes for resolutions that are made at any other point in the year, if they're approached in the same way. Of course, changing our lives is still really great. So what do we do instead? Some of my suggestions are what I covered in the previous episode that I'm linking to. It talks about how to set realistic goals and work through challenges and setbacks. The other big part that I'll talk about today is checking your motivation. Why is it that you want to change anyway? From my experience, if the motivation is not love of yourself, the changes that you make are unlikely to last for a long time. Now, I'm not saying that you have to have a consistent and unconditional love for yourself in order to make any changes in your life. I think that most of us fall into conditional love from time to time. And it serves as an opportunity for us to grow even deeper in our love for ourselves. But I am saying that the biggest barriers to making change or sustaining the change will come from moments when you have difficulty loving yourself. So now, my personal example. I've talked quite a bit about my own journey of developing greater self-love. And on a conscious level, I'm there. It doesn't mean that there's not self-critical thoughts that pop into my head from time to time. But when they do, I practice a compassionate response. I practice patience and forgiveness with myself when I make mistakes. I find that I catch myself pretty quickly, and I recognize that there's no benefit to responding with anger or guilt. I'm not claiming to be perfect at this, but I do a pretty good job. However, there can also be other unconscious aspects of ourselves that get in the way. Sometimes there's issues from past lives that are at play. We may not have any awareness of them. We are also connected to collective energies. We are connected to our soul group. And our soul group may have issues that we're working through collectively. We'll have some aspect of that ourselves. On a personality level, we can also have sub-personalities, such as an inner critic. Our inner critic can serve us greatly to help us to identify aspects of ourselves where there's room for improvement. However, for some of us, that inner critic can go on overdrive and wreak havoc with our sense of self-acceptance. We can also be influenced by ancestral patterns, which epigenetics is starting to reveal to us scientifically. So my challenge this year has been in regard to the way that I eat. I talked about my efforts to make a lot of dietary changes, which I felt guided to do to serve my greatest good. And for the most part, I eat a very clean diet. However, in the past year, and in truth, since my spiritual awakening, there have been times when I've experienced a powerful drive to engage in emotional eating, to turn to food for a sense of comfort. I've considered the times when I've engaged in that behavior to be self-sabotage, because it does not serve my greatest good. And it's not at all what I want for myself. Even at the times when I've done this behavior, I've been thinking to myself, why am I doing this? This doesn't even make any sense. Yet there I was in some kind of automatic pilot mode. As a child, I felt that food was my only comfort. But now I have many tools to cope with uncomfortable feelings. I believe that we should experience our feelings in order to heal them and grow from them. So I wasn't engaging in the emotional eating in a conscious effort to avoid my emotions. There were times where I was begging for clarity, begging to understand why I was doing this behavior. It was a signal to me that I had some deeper healing to do. So I looked into some of these unconscious sources to see what I could find. As I mentioned, this behavior resurfaced after my spiritual awakening and intensified when I went forward more purposefully on my mission. On a conscious level, I was aware of fears. I've shared some of those fears on here. But even when I resolve those fears on a conscious level, I continue to have difficulty taking action in alignment with my goals. So I decided to look into it further. And I discovered that I had some past lives when I had power and I abused it, when I was acting as a healer and messed up, when people were hurt as a result of the things that I was trying to do. So even though there are parts of me on a conscious level that were so excited to have finally figured out what I was supposed to be doing and felt great in the process of actually doing it, there were also parts of me screaming, "Stop!" So some of that was from these past life wounds. And once they were brought to the light, they were able to be healed. There's a lot of different ways where you can get information about past lives. Some people may discover them through shamanic journeying or getting an Akashic record reading or perhaps working with an intuitive healer. And of course, many people are able to access these things on their own because they may have actually served in some of those roles in past lives themselves. And it's just an issue of remembering how to do these things that you've already done before. In my exploration, I also learned about a soul group issue. Seems that my soul group has been pretty good at signing up for missions that are quite self-sacrificing. We have tended to incarnate in places where we take on a lot of dense and difficult dynamics. It's not uncommon when somebody incarnates in such a place that they might develop a sense of unworthiness, particularly if their soul planned to take on this very big task and then was unable to fulfill it because they maybe overestimated how difficult it was going to be. So the feelings of unworthiness that I've experienced in my life is not unique to just me. It's something that the group of souls that I'm most connected to have experienced collectively. On a sub-personality level, I discovered a number of things as well. One of them was my inner child. My inner child that needed nurturing and comfort. I needed to spend quite a lot of time providing nurturance to myself in a number of ways, including nurturing and healing energy to my inner child. My inner critic also needed to be upgraded. It was being way too harsh and running the show way too much compared to the other aspects of myself. And lastly, and most recently, I discovered some ancestral issues that needed to be cleared. I had a grandmother who had difficulty taking up space. Literally. She was about 4'9" and 74 pounds. She would talk about being fat. And besides having difficulty taking up space literally, she didn't take up much space in her life figuratively either. I recently experienced that I've been carrying that energy of hers within me. And it may be one of the reasons why I chose this particular family to incarnate in, since our souls do choose what challenges we want to take on in order to provide service and healing. This ancestral line was a good fit for me to work on issues of taking up space myself. For a long time, I've been able to speak my mind pretty clearly, but I have had much more difficulty doing it in a public way. Until recently. Because of this problem, I chose to share what I'm sharing with you right now to a group of people in a training that I'm going through currently. Just before I chose to share to the larger group, I'd been talking about this issue with a small group that I was working in, and I told them my intention to share with the entire group. The entire time that I was speaking with that small group of people, I've experienced no emotion about what I was saying. However, as soon as it became time to talk to the entire group, I immediately was tearful. I had intense emotion well up in me, and I was shocked that it was even there. Which just serves to show how these issues can be very hidden, even when we think we're addressing them. If the problem behavior or problem pattern continues to repeat, it means that there's still something there that's deeper. And look at how complex it was in my situation. There were 4 different variables, and that's all that I can think of right now. There might have even been more than that. Which also highlights the importance of us being patient and compassionate with ourselves through this process. I'd been working on this issue for a long time and would have limited success after I healed certain aspects, but then the issue would resurface yet again. It was quite frustrating, to say the least. And I have no way of knowing for sure that the issue has been completely resolved at this point. I do feel that it's much more likely that it's resolved now than it has been at any other point. I've been going through a process of purification, and all of these things coming to light have been a part of that. And that's not just me. I mean, we're all going through a process of purification, just at different rates and in different ways. And I've been going through some major shifts lately, which may be part of the reason why I'm feeling under the weather this weekend. I typically need a lot of rest under these circumstances, and I have not been doing enough of that recently. To be clear, I'm not trying to dissuade you from taking steps to make change in your life regarding your health, your relationships, your finances, whatever it is that you feel you need to attend to. Instead, I'm sharing this information with you with the hope that it will help you to look deeper when you have difficulty sustaining any changes that you may be making. I'm hoping that this provides you with insight about how complicated making change can be. It's because it's so complicated that we tend to give up. And my wish for you is to be successful in achieving all of your goals and dreams. When you come across a barrier or have a setback in your process, sometimes it will be more simple things like what I discussed in episode 1. At other points in time, especially if you're taking some big risks or making major changes to be more aligned with who you really are, some deeper stuff is going to come up. And none of that's bad. In fact, it's very, very good to be at a point where you're able to bring deeper things up to the surface. It means that you've already done a lot of healing and a lot of transformation. The more and more we grow, the deeper and deeper we have to go to get to the next level. It's not something to be afraid of. It's not something to judge. Just is. And the more that we are willing to go deeper, the greater the rewards in regard to peace and equanimity. And for those of us who are older souls, this is what we're here for. We've been around longer, and so there's more past life stuff that we need to heal and address than a younger soul. And we come here with the intention to heal these things within ourselves, to be of service to the collective. So don't be scared or don't shy away from these challenges when they arise. Don't be afraid to take breaks and rest as you need to, too. No need to rush through this work. You don't have to make yourself miserable like I have, trying to maintain full speed ahead. In fact, I think the whole process would have been easier if I allowed myself to slow down with it a bit. And if you want to make a change, but you have not yet identified a goal for yourself, I have a suggestion to make. People who seek out spiritual exploration often have difficulty feeling grounded or even wanting to be grounded here on Earth. We often have difficulty accepting living in a human body. I'm sitting here having gained about 20 to 25 pounds in the last year and 9 months or so since I've been working on my mission. Part of that has been the emotional eating stuff that I've been talking about, but part of that has also been wanting to tune out from feeling my body. From not wanting to be connected to it. What I'm discovering is that it is essential to be in our bodies, to be grounded to the earth in order to create here. I've been doing a lot of spiritual, mental, and emotional work, and I've seen a number of benefits on those levels. However, there have been fewer results in the physical world. Because guess what? I haven't been focused on being grounded here. Older souls can often be ambivalent about being here. We choose to incarnate to be of service, yet when we get here, we kind of have forgotten about how dense and difficult it is. Often, as I was mentioning earlier, take on projects that might be a little ambitious. So when things don't go well, sometimes we might want to just check out and not be here. I find it so much easier to meditate, to process emotions, to think about things and gain new insights. But it's harder for me to want to feel my body. And the challenging thing is that when I do, it often doesn't feel like me, particularly since I've put on this extra weight. When I tune into my body now, it feels sluggish and hindering. And so, of course, because that's unpleasant, it sort of motivates me to want to tune out to it again. And obviously, that can become a never-ending cycle. If at this moment in time it serves you best to work on reducing the mental activity that you experience, or to work to process your emotions that you maybe don't allow yourself to feel, then do that. Set goals to make life changes to address those issues. However, file this information about grounding away. And think about when there may be a time for you to work on connecting to your physical body. Now, I don't mean trying to perfect your physical appearance. Instead, think about being mindful of your body and actually feeling yourself fully inhabit your body. Feel your bones and your muscles and their strength. Or lack of strength if you haven't been exercising. Feel your flexibility, or again, lack thereof if you have not been stretching. Feel your digestive process. Notice what it feels like when you eat. Notice your stomach getting full. Notice what foods make you feel bloated or swollen. Notice your breath. Or your heart beating. Really inhabit your body. I find it easiest to connect to my body when I'm engaged in intense physical activity. When you're lifting really heavy weights or you're running for a long time, you can't help but tune into your body. You have to in order to complete those tasks. You have to be aware of your body alignment and form when you're lifting weights so as to not injure yourself. You have to focus on your breathing to continue to run long distances. I have so much more energy and a better connection with spirit when I eat cleanly and when I move my body. Another way that many of us try to disconnect from our body is to ingest substances that alter our experience, whether that's alcohol, even caffeine, smoking marijuana, or taking other kinds of drugs, taking antidepressants or anti-anxiety medications. All of these things numb the signals that our body is giving us. Often these signals are things we need to hear in order to do the deep healing that I was discussing before. It's difficult to fully feel our emotions if we're not tuned into our body because we experience them physiologically. Over the past few weeks, I've been thinking about my avoidance of grounding in my own body. So I'm now choosing to focus on developing more physical strength and presence in my body. It's felt difficult to do things that were physically challenging when I've been challenged so much mentally and emotionally recently. I'm not saying that you have to do all of these things all at once. Be realistic and patient with yourself and wherever you happen to be right now. For me, I've gotten to the point where the mental activity in my mind is much calmer. And I feel pretty capable of experiencing my emotions as they arise. I've actually taken up sobbing quite a bit lately. Not like intentionally sobbing, but just in connecting to or watching movies or other things, like my natural response is just to start sobbing all of a sudden, usually in response to feelings of love or joy.
I actually started to sob when watching the movie Elf during the part where the clausometer goes up. Both sobbing and then laughing at myself. So anyway, this is a time for me to really focus on my body, to feel strong and present, because I'm really going to be working on making some physical manifestations of all of the work that I've been doing. And being grounded will serve that. My motivation is to treat myself with love, to treat this miracle of a human body that I've been given as the gift that it is. So do an inventory to discover what parts of yourself you have the most difficulty loving, so that you can work on deepening your love for yourself too. The more that you're proactive about identifying those aspects of yourself, the less likely they will be to interfere with your efforts to change. Of course, it does not guarantee that there won't be times when deep layers come to the surface. Remember, it is not a failure when that happens. Do your best to remember that and be grateful. Since so many of us have difficulty grounding, your take action item for this week is to do something to connect with your physical body. There's a wide variety of things that you may choose. You may choose something that is exercising, like yoga, or weightlifting, stretching, running, or some other form of cardio. You may choose to do body scanning meditations. I'm sure there's plenty of guided meditations that will take you through a body scan. And there can be many other ways that you can tend to and care for your body. I've recently taken up a practice of rubbing oil over the surface of my body, not only because it's helpful with the dry air in the winter, but that it also helps me to be more attentive to and loving to my body by caring for it in such a way. And as you take these actions, see what comes up. Maybe some uncomfortable emotions that surface. You may notice physical discomfort, which of course is not bad if you're in the process of exercising. Recognize that those emotions and physical sensations are information that will help to guide your healing. I've had times when physical discomfort in my body has been a sign of some emotional issue that needed to be processed, whether it was connecting to an ancestral issue or a past life, but I experienced it in my body in a physical way to signify that it was there. So there were a lot of topics that I mentioned casually throughout this episode without going into much detail. If you have any questions about them or would just like me to go into more detail, please message me and let me know. You can email me at Suzanne, which is S-U-Z-A-N-N-E, at loveistheanswer.one. Or you may also choose to join the Facebook group. There's a private Facebook group called Love is the Answer that has a sunset as the profile picture. I'm going to make a conscious effort to be even more active at initiating discussion about each week's episode in order to hear more from you, what questions you have or challenges you're experiencing, as well as any feedback that you want to share with us about your triumphs. I wish you all so many blessings in this new year and always. I love the line in the movie Vanilla Sky that goes something like, "Every passing moment is a chance to turn it all around." Keep that in mind through this year. If you set an intention to make a change and 2 weeks from now you've been unable to make that change or sustain it, don't stop there. Don't give up. You are creating in every choice that you make. Your bonus action item is to write a list of intentions for 2018. You are a powerful creator with the ability to manifest many things. And clear intentions are a part of that. We must ask God, Spirit, Universe for what we want. You may choose to look up information about affirmations and how to word them to help you with setting your intentions. We have the gift of free will, and so we must say yes to the blessings that we desire. I hope that you recognize all of the blessings that you're worthy of and say yes to them this year. Thanks as always for your time and attention. Wishing you peace and love.